Okay, Yisrael, you're up.
Bokotov, right. Okay. So actually, it was quite a lot. I was quite surprised, really, by the way, like, because it was like a relatively short piece. Are you ready? Yeah. I suppose, like, once you start thinking about things and how things fit together, then that's where, like, the questions come in. But number one was just my own kind of personal thing that I was like, when I read it, I was like, oh, you know, it says, Eved Shluck, who, this is what the astrologers, is it astrologers, yeah?
They say, stargazers, yeah? Whatever.
Stargazers. Okay. So Eved Shluck, who are about Estrin Kesev, right? Tamshilu Alainu. So I was just a bit like, why are they, yeah, exactly. Why are they adding the 20, like, what's the 20 Kesev like?
What's the relevance
to that? Yeah, right, what's the relevance of the 20? Like, I can understand, you know, why shouldn't Eved rule over us? But why are they saying that it was bought for 20 Kesev? Right. Like, as if it's somehow that's important part. So the Beni Hodaya, actually, he actually speaks out a very, very nice point here, yeah? Mm-hmm. He says, number one, he says, V'nira de kvanasan bezeh, he says, she'im kanuhu, right, b'damim merubim, right, if he was bought, yeah, for a lot of money, yesh lomar de'ena eved be'emes, maybe he's not really an eved, yeah, ela ganvuhu, right, mebeis aviv, he's just been kidnapped, right, because he's a very expensive, you know, he's someone you can, you know, get a lot of money for, so worth kidnapping that, maybe he's, you know, the son of a king or something, yeah, but you'll get a lot of money for him, right, aval kevan shkanu rabo be'estrim kesev, but since that his master, I guess Potiphar, bought him for like a lowly sum for 20 kesef, yeah? Devar muad, yeah? Vadai hamocha lo ganvu ma'aviv bishvil schad muad zeh. You're not going to steal someone just for, you know, like, you know, 20 shekels, yeah? Right. Not worth it, right? So Elamai, it must be that Be'emes, he's a real kind of Eved. Anyway, yeah. That's the Beni Hadar.
His father was an Eved.
Interesting.
His grandfather was an Eved.
Yeah, he's like...
How did they know it was 20?
Oh, great question. I have no clue.
It doesn't say anything.
It doesn't say in the Torah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Great question.
I would have figured they would have charged Potiphar more. Like, you'll make some money out of it.
Right. Yeah, you would have thought, yeah.
It was original. Yeah.
How do we know that?
Maybe they saw it in the stars. Huh? Maybe they saw it in the stars. Yeah. Those stargazers.
Yeah, maybe I suppose rumors went around. There were a lot of people who, you know, if you look at, there are a lot of people who try to put, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the Tsar, the Tsar Hamashkin, yeah, who was also trying to put down like Nar, Eved, you know, he was calling him
yeah.
A lot of people were trying to, they didn't like the fact that Yosef was, you know, it's classic kind of, you see that a lot with that, you know,
right,
right, yeah, I hear it. It doesn't take away from your question. I'm just saying maybe like rumor went, they investigated and they, oh, look, they heard rumor that, you know.
Maybe back in the day there was like a going rate for a slave, like, you know, and so then therefore they've just quoted what the going rate was. There's not an unnecessary thing. Like,
yeah, but not with the venue.
They hear the venue, yeah, trying to point out that some slaves were bought for more, some, and this one particular, they said, look, Yosef was bought for nothing. So that kind of person wasn't, you know, he wouldn't have been just stolen. As you know, as his. Anyway, I hear the question. Oh, so
was 20 really a small amount of money? 20 kesef.
Apparently, according to Ben Yehuda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Obsidian and Ben, it's 5 kesef, right?
So. Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it's the same currency.
Baby, but if you look at Erechin, right, a normal man is between. It's 50. Isn't it 50?
This is in Egypt.
That's if he's over 20. Yosef wasn't 20, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, this is in Egypt, so I don't know. I'm buying as a slave. I don't know what currency this is. Is whether it's the same currency as Pidyon HaBen.
I think it is.
In Egypt.
Usually, it says
Tam Kesef.
It's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what it's admitted. Okay. Okay. So next question. Now, actually, you're going to see there's a little theme here, right? So the next question is Bar Gavriel v'Limdo v'Hosif Lo Os Achas. Achas Mishmo, right? Mm-hmm. So Gavriel tried to teach Yosef the different languages. He wasn't chapping, yeah? So then basically Hashem kind of added a letter to his name, like the hey, right? And that fits with the whole pasuk, yeah? In order that he should be able to learn, right? So the question here the Marasha asks, yeah? And I say it's linked because we're going to see a parallel question in a bit with Yehuda, yeah? Wait a sec, yeah? We saw above that actually the reason why he got that extra letter was not in order that he should be able to learn extra languages, but rather was because he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Pesesa, right? So the Marasha says this, yeah, jumps and he says, Kedel, right? The reason why he got an extra letter was like above, yeah, which was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Pesesa. Ela Dahacha Ka'ama, but this is really then what actually that part of the Gemara is saying, yeah? Alidesh Kedesh Shemayim Pesesa, the Kavash Yitzro, Zacha B'Shash Hisricha Lo, Lahosif Lo, hey, Mishmosha Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means that the zchus that the reason why he got it, the zchus that got gave him that power to get that letter was of course because he was Kovesh Yitzro, yeah, and that he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Seisa. But when did he get it? That was at the time that he needed it. So he didn't get it immediately there in the house of Potiphar. He got that extra mile of that extra hay when it was necessary, which came about later on this in the story. Kadesh Shiyada, right? But Ayin Lashon, right? And the Ein Yaakov adds a bit to this. I thought this was a nice point, yeah? So Ein Yaakov says, yeah, Perish Delohav Matzi Lemigma Ilu Chait Potiphar, right? Because had if he sinned with Potiphar, he wouldn't have actually been able to learn. Why? Kadesh Biyuma, right? He quotes another Gemara, right? Aveira Metamtem Libo Shaladon. Right? If someone does an Aveira, that stops them being able to learn Torah, maybe even to learn other languages, I'm not sure, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's not just some, he was Kovesh Yitzro, so he gets a hay, and then, oh, now he needs the hay. So the Ein Yaakov is like, kind of poetically putting it together a bit, yeah? That, yeah, the two are linked, that being able to Kovesh Yitzro, stopping oneself from sinning, that's it's matim for him, that he should be able to therefore learn a language, yeah?
Beautiful.
Anyway, I thought that was nice. Right. Now, number three, number four, I'm not really going to get into, but if you're interested in that, that's more about the kind of technicalities of why you would annul a Shavua and whether you, the conditions are met to annul a Shavua and that whole episode. I'll tell you the question number four, which is a Shavaka question. Yeah. So the question is, so Yosef says, well, you know, you have to be very careful if you're going to go and tell me to ask a Shayla to, you know, to you go to Chachamim and say, can you annul my vow? Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's another vow that I could also get annulled, kind of, you know, hint, yeah? So what was the other vow? The other vow was, you know, you won't tell anyone, right, that Pari doesn't know all the languages, didn't know, like, wasn't able to learn Lashon HaKodesh. So ask the Ashabah, he says to the Achorim, actually asked, he said, well, wait a sec, how are you going to ask Shayla on that? You're going to go to the Chachamim and say, listen, I've got this, I made a vow to Paro, yeah? Now, I wasn't going to reveal, yeah, that he doesn't know all the 70 languages, and I'd now like to annul that vow, please. Right, so that's the obvious question, yeah. So you kind of, how are you going to try to get that Shayla without first violating the vow?
The Shayla is extended, by the way. The Shayla is how do we even know about the fact that, because how does the Gemara know that there was a Shavuot? I mean, there must be a drasha of Shavua Secha, like, as in it seems like it's superfluous in the Torah, the reason why when Pharaoh responds, right? Like, as in meaning, that must be a hint to the fact, otherwise Pharaoh, if you'd have gone and said, you know, look, my father, I swore to my father that I was, you know, that I would take him out of the land of Egypt, and then, you know, like, Pharaoh should have just responded, Beseda taking, he said, Beseda taking according to your oath, which seems superfluous, meaning there's something going on, but
right.
Anyway,
That's Stam Pashat Peshat. So you know what you're saying. No. I mean, we're saying Stam Pashat Peshat in the Gemara that like we kind of the there's basically medrash on allusions in the pesukim that there's another oath that's been. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, nachon. Okay.
Yeah, I would answer it differently. Pharaoh was worried that the Egyptians would know about it. The Jews knew they had to speak Hebrew.
Ah. Okay, well, I don't know. Did the Jews know?
No, that's not. Yeah.
Mate, I don't know how often they got the chance to say Shalom Aleichem, whether he would necessarily.
Shvatim came. Brother Shvatim to
say. Right. But would he necessarily? I'm saying I don't know whether he would necessarily.
And they were there for 17 years or whatever before Yaakov died. So I'm sure there was some.
Yeah, maybe you're saying maybe the Jews would know, although it would be pretty obvious to everyone if they said something to him and he didn't respond. And
no, because he can say something in Swahili and who would know the difference.
Again, yeah. Okay, so now, this is a good question. Oh, no, I didn't say I was going to say the answer. I was going to say just look inside, just because it's a long piece or whatever. I didn't want to. Is it? If you're interested, I just raised the question. The key to the answer is you don't necessarily need to if you want to ask Shayla on a Shavua, you could say, oh, I said to someone, and you don't necessarily need to give all the parts, or maybe it's only Dindar Rabbanon. Those are the two ones, but kids. Okay. Now this is Gil's question, yeah. So we say Yehuda Maihi, right? What you know, and says the Gemara, right, to Tanya, and then Hayremeh Omer Bishar Shah Yisrael Om Dimal Swasiyam, and etc. And then it's actually Yehuda's Pshat that you know that Nachshon Ben Aminadav went into the sea, and because of that, he was Zocher to extra things, yeah. So now the question is that we actually learn the Gemara on Daf Yud, which I'll quote here. Let's read the Gemara on Daf Yud, So it's the first thing here on number five, So it says the following, yeah? Vayaka Yehuda, right? Vayomer Tzidkam Imeni, right? So Yehuda recognized the staff and whatever, right? And he said, oh, she is more righteous than me. He owned up, basically. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And says the Gemara there, Hainu da Amar Reb Chanin bar Zivna, right? Amar Reb Shimon Chasida, Yosef Shekidah Shem Shemayim B'Seisa, and etc. Yehuda Shekidah Shemayim B'Fahezia, Zaka V'Nikra Kula Al Shemo. Right? So that was the Gemara we learned on Daf Yud. And although it's not Mefurish, yeah, it's very much implied the way Gemara brings that, that statement, yeah, Hainu da Amar Reb Chanin bar Zivna, is because of the fact that the Maaseh Tamar, right? Which is why Gil said, well, wait a sec, what's going on here? Why are we ascribing, and Rashi says it, and our Gemara seems to imply that it's because of what Nachshon ben Aminadab did, yeah? When we learned on Daf Yud, it was because of the Maaseh Tamar, right? Mm-hmm. So the Maharsha over there, yeah, he addresses this. Basically, B'kitzel is going to see two answers, yeah? So we'll, you know, two drachen, yeah, to answer this question. So the Maharsha there on Daf Yud says, Dechainu Shekideh Shem Shemayim Behodaso, right, so he spells it out, yeah, he was Mekadeh Shem Shemayim by admitting about Tamar, right, and that was, I guess, that was in public, let's say, he was assuming. But da, right, to Beperek, what's our Perek? Ein, what's our Perek?
Right.
What? Elu Benemarim, thank you, yeah, right. Our perek, right? It's a nami hach dereb chana, right? Umefarish la beinyanache, and it explains it a different way. Explains it by Nachshon ben Yamin Yiradav, right? The sarach lema, a simple answer. The hava ha ita, yeah, in a chanami, right? Bekala haven, yeah. He got that extra. He was called by Hashem's name because of these two things that he did. It was like maybe both combined, yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting shot. Maybe, maybe the two. Now, but we're going to see. There's a bit more. The question though is, yeah, it needs a bit more havana. Like, why two things? Like, so we're going to see. Maybe on that shot, we're going to see a little bit more extra depth. Maybe building on that idea of both of them together. So let's see, Dan Yaakov. Yeah. So he says, right. That's the next one down. Svir lekid itba medrash, right. Dai Bahoda, right, Shtachape al Habir. Okay, this is a bit of a different approach. The first approach he's saying is, yeah, that basically maybe, yeah, that actually that really his confession was just kind of, you know, a kapara, right, for his Maisabir. Okay, so it's not, that wasn't enough. Okay, whatever. But Odia Shleimah, right? Demikomakom Kashile, right, but name Maz, now this is the main thing I'm gonna focus on. Demikomakom Kashile, right? But name Mazach Yehuda Yosh Mem Shato Ledorus, right? Or what was it that gave Yehuda, right? Not only the fact that he was gonna be leading, and maybe there was a point in time where Yehuda would be leading over, you know, the Jewish people, yeah? But where do we what gave him that chus ledorus, like for the rest of, you know, history, yeah? We know that there's a prophecy, yeah, that Yaakov Avinu said, yeah, that it's never gonna the rulership will always be with the tribe of Yehuda, yeah. So the Hachikama, the Fisha Gam Zaru Achrav Tafsu Umnus Avosehem, the Kadeshem Shemaim Fahesia. So you have Yehuda himself, who is Mekadeshem Shemaim, with the Maaseh Tamar. But what gave him, and that gave him a certain attribute. But what gave it, it should be forever. So the fact that his descendants carried with that, where do we see his descendants carried with that? That's the Maaseh of Nachshon ben Aminadab. So I thought, for me, that was an extra depth to really maybe bet on what the Maharsha was saying. Havaha, yeah, you need both things, yeah? But what, you know, how do these both things fit together? Personally, I like that, yeah? Now, the Anaf Yosef says, right, that basically, what was he saying here? Okay, this is why I'll speak it outside, yeah? So the second approach, basically, is to say, no, they're two different opinions, yeah? And basically what the Anaf Yosef is pointing out, and I thought this was also Kishmak, is there's two of the very Gemara that we brought, the Tanya, the Bryce that we brought, had two opinions, had Rameah, right, about what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. Was it Binyamin that jumped in first, or was it Yehuda? Right, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, fine, it was Yehuda that jumped first. That could be what gave him the zchus to have rulership over Klal Yisrael. But what about Remeir? Remeir learned the whole episode completely differently. He said nothing happened. Like, no, it wasn't Nachshon ben Aminadab. It was Binyamin who jumped in first. Mm-mm. But still, he has to explain that we know that Yehuda had a certain zchus. He was named after Hakadosh Baruch Hu and leadership. So where did he get that zchus from? That could be that he held by that. So either two Gemaras could be based on 2-9, Betson. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting.
You can also say that the Rashi Modell, Parhesa was before the Jews. the other ones were not in front of the Jews.
Which other
one? There's a discussion whether Kiddush Hashem is in front of the Jews.
Ah, right, right. This is a bit like Rabbi Yehuda wanted to say as well, that Tamar wasn't... Yeah, that, right.
Tamar and his other judges were over there. They were Jewish.
Right. So that could be another reason why it would be less good to say it was just the mice of Tamar. Yeah, because maybe that's not considered
the Fahesia.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to say as well when Gil asked you the question.
I don't remember.
Ah, okay. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. That's the other side of the coin, right? Very nice. Okay,
yeah,
excellent.
The thing is, though, that the Gemara on Daf Yud seems to imply that it was Behef.
Right, but I'm saying he's explaining the Machlokas. But he's just explaining the different sides. So maybe if it's a Machlokas and Gemara's, then our Gemara would be holding that wouldn't be next Shabbos but Farhesia. I think that's what you meant,
it's
right?
It's interesting anyway to say that Makashi and Shemayim should be in public in front of Yid, because other rabbis, like Achilah Hashem doesn't have to be in front of
people. Say that all the time, but it's
Achilah Hashem doesn't have to be in front of Jews. Somebody knows you're a Jew. Kiddush
Hashem.
Kiddush Hashem is in front
of the world. Yeah, but the
Gemara isn't. What am I saying? Kiddush Hashem?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, but dying Kiddush Hashem is before 10 Jews.
No, I'm saying
I know. I hear what you're saying. That's how we relate to it. But I don't know if it's halachically. If that's
Now sticking with where we left off, which was just the myself what happened at the sea. I thought this was also an interesting point here.
So
yeah.
It's just like Dan Kiddush Hashem, like if you like, as in front of like this, in front of the goyim, ten goyim or a shalofim, whatever. That's for
sure. I don't think that's considered for Hesed. I think I'll have to check it out.
It's definitely a Kiddush Shemayim, but just maybe So the Gemara says, we've got Binyamin and Yehuda Betzem, yeah? And Binyamin, two versions of who jumped into the sea first, right? And if Binyamin jumped into the sea, then he was Zocher to have the Shekhinah in his Chelek. And if you held that it was Yehuda, right, then he was zecher to rulership. Mm-hmm. So basically, Betzem, the Ben Yehudah is bothered. Well, for the same miser, Betzem, why would you have such different rewards? I mean,
right.
Interesting question, no?
Right.
So he comes with a very different approach, which is a different way of seeing this Gemara. So let's have it. This is number six, yeah. So he says, venerally, right, psiyata dishmaya, right. The Zechias Binyamin, Shia Beis Amigdash Bechelko, Lo Bala Mitzad Hadava, right? Because he did this, then he gets, which is the way we would have read the Gemara in a simple level, yeah? Ella Binyamin Zacha Mikara, right? Lios Beis Amigdash Bechelko. Be'etzem, he was always meant to be that in his Chelek, yeah? Yehuda Zacha Mikara B'Malchus. And Yehuda was always going to have Malchus, yeah? Ach! However, right, Machmas Davazer, right, Leremeir Zaka Binyamin Shtei Zechia Zut Midis, yeah, Etzlo, right. But however, what is one thing having a zechus like maybe a one-time historical thing, and it's another thing having a zechus which is going to be throughout history, yeah. So according to Remeir, why was it that Binyamin throughout history that zechus which we know Binyamin had, yeah, what caused it throughout history for him to always have that, right? That was below Tifsok, right? There should be no interruptions. Kasha, Mishkan, and all the different Mishkan, and whenever the Mishkan, the base Mikdash went, it was always going to be in the Chelek of Binyamin. That was because of this Maisa, right? The Chain Bihuda, the Rebbe Yehuda. So, i.e., what happened in the sea was, the sea was just taking whatever Zechus you have and making it a permanent thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I just wrote on here that Betzim, this is kind of, for me, this is a bit of an echo of what we saw above.
Right, yeah.
Right? That's really what I was saying, yeah? Mm-hmm. That we said about Yehuda, right? Wasn't it the Maisa Tamar? So this was a kind of an echo of it, yeah? It wasn't, maybe there wasn't the Maisa Tamar, but what gave him that Zchus forever, that was the sea. So I'm just kind of linking the two together a bit.
You could be a question answer. Binyamin, the whole Shevet went in, they got a reward that was relevant to the whole Shevet. You did an individual one,
then
you got Melech
with an individual. That's brilliant. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's very nice. Yep. Yeah, very good. Yeah. I hear. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, very good. But although I suppose it, it does explain about the shevet as opposed to the individual, but it doesn't necessarily explain why this particular aspect.
Right.
But yeah, I hear definitely on that part.
That works for
yeah. Right.
I hear, yeah. Okay. Now number seven. This is quite important. This is Pashup Shat, right? So we say, as we say every morning, yeah? As you said, Lilmod v'lalamed lishmo v'lasos, yeah? So what, basically, just Pashup Shat, what are the different aspects? What are those?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the difficult one probably is, right, like, Lilmod v'lalamed, to learn, to teach, yeah? That kind of lasos we kind of to do, yeah? Mm-hmm. But that's all okay. Mm-hmm. I think the difficult one is the lishmo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Pashup, you would say lishmo usually sounds like, you know, God, like, it sounds like, you know, don't be over a lotus. So that's kind of how we usually have said it, yeah? But the problem is that the Gemara ends up saying that we have 16, obviously, which factors in lishmo for every mitzvah. So on a positive mitzvah, how would you have lishmo if lishmo is make sure you don't transgress?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of question so the Marshal is dealing with. So the Marshal says, yeah, Ela diyesh lefaresh lishmo gam ba'asiya, right? So you have to explain lishmo also applies to an action, right? Mm-hmm. The lasos, and you have to say lasos to do is also below tase, yeah? That's the other problem, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Lasos usually do, well, meant to not do. So he says, v'lishmo hainu kadam binam, prepek kamen to kedushin, right? So it says, right, asher tishmarun, right? There it has a drasha. Asher tishmarun means zu mishnah, right? This is kind of learning, and we'll see in learning in a certain way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then lasos doesn't mean to necessarily do something. It means kind of more zumaisa. This is action. Action could be action doing and action not doing, yeah. Okay, we're going to see a sec. The einze bichlal. But basically, that this is not included. So you'd say, wait a sec. If Mishnah is learning again, learning. So how's that different to learning? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he says the einze bichlal lilmod. Yeah, and that's not just learning, right? To kama hacha. Why? Diyesh lomen mirabo umeshachcha. Yeah, because you can learn something and just then forget it, right? This is a kinyan mesechdavul, by the way. Yeah, you should know. You see where we're going here. About shmiris hamishna shechoza al mishnaso, right? But guarding one's learning, which means, yeah, going over one's learning many times, right? Shelo tishkacheach mipiv, such that you shouldn't forget it, yeah, right? So that is what Mishnah is, yeah? So it's saying here, learn it, yeah? There's initial learning, there's a skill in learning something for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Teaching, and then there's lishmo, the belonging to a kinyan masechta, right? Going over things multiple times, right? And that is maybe l'day maisa. That will come to action, whether that action is doing something or not doing something. Maisa is just the fruition of the learning. Right? So basically, that's how the Marshal is explaining each of these four aspects, which apply both to Lotase and to Ase.
Right. Nice.
No? I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah?
Well, the thing is, you can't teach anything unless you've learned it properly.
Ah, that's also true. Yeah.
And you can't teach anything unless you've learned and gone over it again.
Right. As we saw from Shabbos, you can't learn something without going over it again and again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anything that sounds
like
you're saying still, maybe it's a bit included. You can't lamed unless you're lishmo. It could be. I don't know.
I interpret lishmo by an assay means you're not doing something that will prevent you from doing that assay. And last those is to do something that will
the other
you
side
from doing the laws.
Walk away
from the situation.
I could hear there's possibilities of saying it different ways. That's why sometimes the question is more important than the answer.
The whole number thing there is.
I won't get into it because we
Ari and Richard really have to hear about it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
The kits are okay.
Okay, let's see. They were both.
I haven't got a good answer for Rashi, right? But
can you Rashi, explain it completely?
The question is, right, that the Gemara says, Dalad v'dalad, well, that's eight. Yeah, it's like four and four, that's eight. And then eight and eight is... So Rashi says, what is this Dalad and Dalad, yeah? So Rashi says, Dalad means four brisios, four britim. I don't know how you translate that, yeah? Which means, yeah, four of lilmod, yeah, four caused by the idea of the word lilmod to learn, and then another four is lamed, and so you stop at that point. You say and says Rashi and says Hari Ches, yeah, and now you've got eight, And then you get back to the count of, well you've also got, you know, Lishmor and Belasos. Yeah? So then Lishmor is another four, and Lasos is another four, and that comes to another eight. So now you've got eight, you've got eight and eight. Yeah, that's how Rashi explains it. Yeah. And basically, I won't read it inside, but the Maharshal is kind of like bothered by that because it's a bit artificial. Why would you kind of like why would you stop halfway through? Yeah? I mean, it's one concept of Lilmod, Lalmed, Lishmod, Lasos. Why would you kind of, when you're counting, like say, well, now I've got four and four, stop. Yeah, now that adds up to eight. It's kind of like a pause. Yeah, and then
Lilmod, Lalmed is the academic part of it. Lishmod, Lasos is the actual part of it.
Okay.
Okay, here, that's an answer for Rashid. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But so you hear the question. The question is, if that's one concept, then it's a bit artificial to kind of split it up.
Okay.
Unless you say some kind of Torah like that. Yeah. Right. So the Maharsha Be'etz and Bekitz are just. I mean, I thought there's other ways to read it, but you know, he would read it differently. Yeah. I guess he would say. Yeah. How would we say it? We would say four maybe is, you know, you take these four and you say four on Klal and then four on Prat, yeah, and that will be then eight for Bracha, and then you'd say four on Klal and four on Prat for Klal. Okay. You know, yeah. I mean, I can't remember. In fact, that's with that I'd have to see inside. But that's the way. There's more of kind of like ways to come to the maths where there's a more natural dividing line, such you have eight and eight rather than kind of having the eight of being half of Lishmor, a little more Lamed, and then the other eight being Lishmor Lasos. That's the Kitzer, what the thought is. So the Maharshal doesn't like Rashi and therefore actually asks on it because of the reason and then explains it differently.
That's the book. Okay, very nice. Yeah.
How are we doing? We still don't know why they had to split it.
Sorry?
Whatever reason we find, we don't know why they had to split it.